So, quite a few songs about faith today. And that's because today's message is walking by faith. Walking by faith. This will be coming out of 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. Romans 15, 4 says, "For whatever what was written before was for our instructions, though that through our endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope." Anybody ever walk into a dark room? Right? You open up the door. Right? Everybody's walked into a dark room, right? So when you walk into a dark room and say it's in your house, what's the first thing you do? Turn on a light, right? So, but suppose you didn't have a light. Right? What would you rely on? Senses, right? You rely on your senses. So I'm really good at seeing in the dark, right? This is God's gift to me. I don't know, they need that power. A lot of years ago, in burning buildings where you can't see anything, but you go by your instincts, right? So, but when we go in, we're in a pitch black room, we can't see anything, but we can navigate around the furniture, right? We can navigate. We might stump a toe now and again, but we can navigate. How do we do that, right? We have faith that we can get through that room in the darkness, right? So we walk by faith. We walk by our instincts, and we can navigate through that. So in 2 Kings, those of you who have your Bibles, please open 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 18 through 17. What did I say? Chapter 2 Kings 6, 18, 8 through 17. Sorry. "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you don't pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' None of his servants, not one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king,' but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to them, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?'" How often do we go up against great armies of darkness in our lives in a spiritual battle? Every day. Every day we're coming against something. Doesn't matter what it is. Every day there's something that we come against, whether it's finances, sickness, whatever, trouble in a marriage, trouble in life. It doesn't matter. We come against it. And then what do we say to ourselves? What are we going to do? Right? What are we going to do? Well, Elisha answered, so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And verse 17 says, "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." You don't think those horses and chariots of fire are around a believer in spiritual warfare. You better believe that they are. All the time. We see in verse 7, Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." He was going on seeing the army in front of him. We go on seeing our problems in front of us, obstacles in front of us. And that's what his servant seen. Verse 16, he went back, for those who are with us outnumbered those who are with them. See, the difference between Elisha and his servant was the difference between faith and sight. Big difference. There's a big difference. 2 Corinthians. No, I got to go back here. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, 8, which, or 4, 16 through 18, verse 18, while we don't look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are only temporary, but the things which are seen are not seen is eternal. The things that we're doing, the things that we're going through, the things that we're seeing is only temporary. The things that we can't see are eternal in Jesus Christ. Amen. They are eternal. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8. 7 and 8 say, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See, the statement's found in Paul's context that he's talking about the Christian's future after death. And what a wonderful future that's going to be for the believer. We're going to be with Jesus in heaven. Amen. But being assured of that right now, we have assurance to walk securely through the problems and difficulties of this life. So when we go through definition of some terms, and it says, for we, which is God's faithful people, Christians, and the church. And you're probably wondering why I don't have these PowerPoints up there. So there's two reasons. We're walking by faith and not by sight. Number two, I was just too sick to do it.
But it worked out. God worked it out.
So then it says, for we walk. When we walk, we walk to pursue a course of action or a way of life. How we move along our lives and during the course of our life. That's our Christian walk. That's our Christian walk. In our faith, we walk by faith. That's believing and trusting God, following His way and His will every second of every day. That's faith. And our sight is trusting in self and what we can be perceived, what can be perceived with human senses. When we walk through that dark room, we're going on our senses that we know where our furniture is. We go by hear, by smell. We go by our senses when we walk into the dark room. When we walk through a dark part of our life, we often withdraw and go with what we know. That's self, with our senses. We can't do that. We can't do that. So, what does walking by faith involve? Well, walking by faith involves a change in self. A change in self. I'm going to get killed on this carpet. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We call this a conversion, right? A conversion. When we have a conversion, we become a Christian, right? We are born again. We are changed. We become a child of God. We're obeying the gospel. When we have that true change, we start doing the will of God. Or we really want to do the will of God. Because we don't always do that. See, Christians are a brand new people on the inside. And hear this, church. The inside controls the outside. Whatever we got going on inside, it's going to come out on the outside.
If we're not walking in God's will, our outside's going to show it. If we're not walking in faith and we're walking in the world, we're not changed on the inside. We're not truly changed on the inside. Sometimes when you accept Christ, this can take a while to have that full surrender. But you got to have it. You have to have it to be able to walk by faith. There's too many people in the world today that are putting their faith where it doesn't belong. Our president said, trust and have faith in your government. And I'm not being political up here, but we need to have faith in God first. I have faith in the doctors that took care of me on Friday. Well, actually, he was a PA and he was a good friend of mine. I had faith in what they were doing. Right? I had faith in the doctors. I had faith in the nurses. They treated me like gold, even when I was in the waiting room. Didn't hurt that I had a fire department hat on. Right? Sometimes. Why do you think it'll work? But I still had faith in Christ first. I'm not saying don't wear a mask. I'm not saying don't get the vaccine. I'm not saying don't not go to the doctor. Have faith in Christ first. Have faith in Christ first. Everything you do is between you and God, not me, not this church. It's between you and God. That's the way it needs to be. We can't judge each other by things that we do, right? We have to have faith in Christ first. When we have faith in Christ first, everything else falls together. Everything else will fall together. But at the time of this conversion, you just don't merely turn over a new leaf, right? It's time for a change. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. That doesn't cut. That doesn't cut. I turned over a new leaf. I'm 54 years old and probably, I don't know, 30 times a year since I turned over a new leaf. I'm going to start doing this. Start praying more. Start reading the Bible. Turn over your leaf. I want to change. Right? I'm going to stop partying. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. Turn over a new leaf is on the outside. That's on the outside, not on the inside. You have to begin a new life under a new king, under a new master. You forfeit that old destiny, which is hell, and gain a new destiny, which is heaven. And three basic changes have to occur for scriptural conversion. You got to change your heart. That's our affection. It must be changed from the love of sin to the love of God. You have to have a heart change. And our life, our conduct, has to change. The conduct of a person, of you, me, must be changed from sin to righteousness. It has to be changed. And the state of our relationships. The state of a person has to be changed from the realm of Satan's rule to the realm of God's kingdom. When we're getting caught up in all the worldly things and the fleshly desires and all that, that has to change. We have to get out of that realm. We have to get out of that realm. We have to get out of the realm of Satan's rule and into God's kingdom. Where you're saying, well, Pastor Rob, how is this done? How can we do this? Well, through obeying the gospel of Christ. You got to stay in the Bible. You got to stay reading the Bible. You got to stay in prayer. Hearing the gospel brings faith, and faith changes the heart. When we're walking in faith, when we're doing the things that we need to do, and we're walking by faith and not by sight, we're obeying the will of God. is he wants our dependence to be on him and not of the things we see.
Like Elisha
prayed that his servant's eyes would be open and opened it up to a spiritual realm that's like none other. That battle is being fought for us in the second heaven.
That's where the spiritual battle is being fought. But once we hear the gospel, we have to believe the gospel. And believing in the gospel, while you're reading it, brings repentance. We have to have repentance. We have to. Every time that we sin, we've got to repent of it. And ask for forgiveness. Yes, we're forgiven. Hands out. But we still, Jesus wants to hear us repent and tell him we're sorry. Because we go against him. And repentance of our sins changes our life. So if we sin, we ask for forgiveness. We sin, we ask for forgiveness. Soon, hopefully, praise God, that changes. That changes us to where the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and we tend not to willfully sin anymore. Because we know when we do, what do we got to do? We got to go to the throne and repent with a broken, contrite heart. That produces a change. That produces a change in us. Hopefully it would. And the confession of Christ. The confession of Christ changes one's allegiance from Satan to who? Jesus. If we still have an allegiance to... I shared a thing on Facebook just the other day where there was two hands shaking. One was the devil's and one was the human's. You got to let go of the world. Your allegiance has to be to Christ. You can't keep shaking hands with the devil and expect to walk in faith and walk in Christ. You can't do that. It doesn't work. It's called double-minded. You got 1 foot in the world, you got 1 foot in Christ. Now, yes, we're going to fall into the world because we have the sin nature, but we don't want to stay there. We don't want to bridge that gap. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to be, look at the world. We're in Christ. Can't be that. We can't be that. So you have to change your allegiance from Satan to Jesus. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So walking by faith involves knowing, believing, and obeying the right things. We have to be obedient to Christ. Because if we do things our own way, Proverbs 14:12 said, there's a way that seems right to man, but in its end is the way of death. Our way isn't always the right way. See, the path that seems right may offer many options and require few sacrifices. We always look for the easy way out a lot of times where we don't have to have any sacrifices. We don't have to do anything. To find that way out. When we're in a dark room, when we're in a dark place, right? Instead of walking through and sacrificing, you might break a toe or bust your shin, we turn the light on. Easy to get out, right? When we're walking in faith, we turn that light on in Jesus Christ. That's the light we need to turn on. That's the night light. Easy choices should make us take a second look at things. When we're taking the easy choices, when we're doing the easy things, we need to look at it. Right? How does this glorify God? Right? The easy way isn't always the best way. If somebody gives us a choice or gives us an opportunity,
We need to take a second look. We need to take a second look because the right choice often requires hard work and self-sacrifice. Right? We got to die to self to be in Jesus Christ. Don't be enticed by apparent shortcuts that seem right and popular but are not to be found in God's, in the pages of God's holy word, the Bible. Right? The devil will put shortcuts in front of you. But if you're not following God's word, then how are you going to know to know the difference? Huh? What? Thanks. To differentiate. I can't say. I'm sick. I got an excuse. But what you're looking at, if it's not lining up with God's word, if you're watching preachers on TV and it's not lining up with God's word, shut it off. Shut it off. And there is a lot in today's world. Shut it off. That's a whole nother teaching. But we can't go with the writings of men. We got to go with the Bible. Because if we start going with these other writings, and there's a lot of good authors out there, and there's a lot of books. I just ordered 6 books for school. There's a lot of good books, but you can't let that supersede God's word. A lot of people have study Bibles. This right here, this is a study Bible. And I relied on that a lot when I first started walking back with the Lord. Because it has commentary in it. But we can't get into that commentary and let it become God's word. Right? Because commentary is only somebody's thought. But it is helpful. But you have to not let it supersede. There's many human creeds, but there's only one Bible. And we have to obey the right doctrine. And Matthew 15:9 says, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." We can't do that. We can't do that. But walking by faith involves maintaining focus. And I want to go to, if you have your Bibles, please go to Matthew 14, 22 to 23. And we're going to go through the scripture in a little bit, and then I'm going to be closing up with this. So Matthew 14, 22 to 23, and I believe that you've heard this story before. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to him, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came to worship him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, he was successfully walking on the waters of the Sea of Galilee. If we're walking in faith, we'll be successful. Who do we need to be successful for? Jesus. But when he began to focus on the winds and the waves, he began to sink. So what happened? He changed his focus. He lost his focus. His faith wavered and he realized what he was doing. We can't lose focus, right? We can't get caught up in the things around us. We have to stay focused on Jesus. We have to stay focused. We have to continue to walk in that faith and not by sight. We might not be walking on water right now, but we're going to walk through some tough situations in our Christian life here on earth. If we focus on the waves of difficult circumstances around us and take our eyes off the one whom we serve, which is Jesus Christ, we too may begin to give up hope and sink. Because we lose focus, we're not walking by faith anymore. We're walking by sight. And when we start walking by sight, what happens? We sink. We sink.
In order to maintain your faith when situations are difficult, you got to focus on the power of God rather than our own inadequacies. We got to focus on the power of God and not what we can't do. And so many people say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. If we stay focused and we're staying on God and walking in faith and not by sight of our own inadequacies, we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And although we start out with good intentions, sometimes our faith falters. It does. It does. When Peter's faith faltered, he reached out to Christ, the only one that could help. He could have reached out to the boat. When he started sinking, he could have turned and reached for the boat. Right? But it was too late to help. He could have reached out to the 11 other disciples. They couldn't help. He was already going under. Although he was afraid, he still looked to Christ, and Christ reached out to help him overcome his situation. When you grow apprehensive about the troubles around you and begin to doubt your ability to see it through, reach out to the Father who loved you so much that he gave his only Son to die for you. Don't take your eyes off of God. There is not another one. There is not another God that will help you. There's not another situation that will help you. Keep your eyes on God. Don't take your eyes off the Bible. It's the only book God has given. And do not take your eyes off the gospel. It is God's power to salvation. Don't take your eyes off the church. Because the body of Christ, guess how many people are saved in the body of Christ? All of them. In the body of Christ. Not in the building. Not in the church building. In the body of believers. Don't take your eyes off that. Don't take your eyes off of worship, because our God must be worshipped. And don't take your eyes off of faithfulness. The devil will lead you astray. Great is thy faithfulness. Right? God is faithful. God is faithful. And he won't leave us. And do not take your eyes off of truth. Only it can make you free. Don't take your eyes off of heaven. It's the finish line for the race we are running right now. To cross that finish line, to be in front of Jesus. That's the race we're running. If we don't keep our eyes on that finish line, we're going to slow down and let go. And we're going to fall. Don't lose your focus. You've got to keep your focus on the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Without Jesus Christ, without that acceptance of Jesus Christ, you'll never see God. You'll never be to the Father. There is no other way to get in. There's no other way to be with Jesus or be with the Father except through Jesus Christ. No other way. You can't ever lose your focus as a Christian. See, the winds and waves of religiously divided world, which this world is very religiously divided,
It's going to distract and confuse you. It's not about the religion. It's about the relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have that true relationship with Jesus Christ, that's all you need. Because the winds and waves of a man-made church is going to distract you and confuse you and toss you to and fro. The winds and waves of human creeds and man-written religious doctrines will distract you and confuse you. The winds and waves of self-proclaimed religious leaders will distract and confuse you. And church, there is a lot of self-proclaimed religious leaders out there. A lot. And they will lead you down the wrong path. And there's a lot of them on TV, and there's a lot of them in this area. You have to really know your word. The winds and waves of Satan's efforts to reclaim your soul will distract and confuse you. If you're not saved, he already has you. Satan already has you. If you're saved, he can't get you back. He can't get you back. But you can release his grip on you by accepting Jesus Christ. You can't let the winds and waves of discouragement and disappointments distract you. You got to walk in faith, not by sight. All the discouragement and disappointments and everything else that we go through distract us. And let us walk by sight and not by faith. And keep your eyes and faith focused on God. So in conclusion, walking by faith involves a change, right? Not just turning over a new leaf. It involves a change. It involves knowing, believing, and following the right things. It involves maintaining focus on Jesus Christ. Are you walking by sight? Or are you walking by faith? Faith honors God, and God honors faith. Little story, and then we're going to finish up. I found this on the internet. One night a house caught fire, and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flames, smoke, and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump, I will catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." God can see you. And that's all that matters. You might not be able to see him, but he can see you and everything you're going through. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're not walking by faith today, and you want to, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, and you want to, I ask that you come on up, or if you need prayer. Now, I may be sweating, but I don't have COVID. I just came to the hospital on Friday. And then I ask that you come on up for prayer if you want. No pressure. And never pressure. But I do use oil. If you don't want it, just go like this. That's all.
Oops.
So, I do ask in all sincerity that you come up for prayer. And if you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you want your sins forgiven, to come on up. And then afterwards, I've got just one quick thing to tell you about. It'll be up on the PowerPoint. So I didn't forget the money.
wanted to pray for you again, but I didn't forget. So if we can bow our heads and just pray for y'all. Father God, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for your message, Lord. And I thank you that it touched the hearts in you. Lord, we just lift the rest of the day up to you, and I lift everybody up to you, Lord, just for travel mercies, Lord, just to protect them and keep them healthy. Lord, to strengthen their faith, strengthen their walk with you. Lord, you are so good. And we just want to magnify you, Lord. Give us the boldness to share your word, the boldness to share your love. As you were bold when you went to the cross, willingly to die for us, that we may have eternal salvation and life with you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I lift this offering up to you, Lord, this tithes and offerings, Lord, and I just ask you to bless them to further your kingdom. You have been so, so good to us, God. From the day that we even thought about coming here, Lord, it was all ordained by you. And we can see that in what you're doing. Lord, just let us all be focused on you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. So, real quick. Our church website is locfgchurch.org, which is Light of Christ Full Gospel Church.org. I tell you this because there's several things on there. There's a sermons button that you can listen to. Two good sermons, the other one you can't hardly hear, which is communion. And then I'll put this one on probably today. So if you miss something, you want to go back and listen to it. You can. Also, there's a prayer button. There's a prayer wall. Okay? If you need prayer, go to the website or the app, because we have an app. I'm going to tell you how to do that app. You can hit prayer, hit the prayer wall, put your prayer on there. There's an option for public or private. If you put it public, everybody that goes on the website can see it. Everybody prays for you. It also comes to me. If you put private on there, it comes directly to me, nobody else. So don't be afraid to put prayers on there. Hit the private button, and it'll come straight to my personal email, and then I can pray for you all. Now, the church app that we have, you have to go to your App Store or your Google Play and hit on our church. You'll see a little blue icon show up, and it has like a little white skeleton of a church. So once you go on that, you download that, and then you put in the Light of Christ Full Gospel Church. Okay? That's our church app. Everything that's on the website is on the app. So if you're driving to work, you can listen to the message, or if you need prayer, maybe you're out and about, you need prayer, go to the app, hit the prayer wall, I get it. Okay? All the events are going to be on there. There's some other stuff on there. There's about our church, the history of our church, and our beliefs. Our beliefs are on. Everything that's on the website is on the app, the phone app. So I just ask you to do that. Utilize it. Utilize the website, right? If you see anything that you'd like to see on there, let me know. We can get it on there. Maybe to improve it. We do go through a company. We pay $30 a month to maintain that. So I just ask that you utilize that so we can get our money's worth out of it. So other than that, I just ask that God to just bless you and have a blessed day. And
We do it out of a book, but we also, it also is teaching. So if you don't have a book, that's okay. We're going down through Amos. Sunday, 1 week from today, Sunday school starts. Adults will be up here. Kids will be downstairs. That's at 8:30 in the morning. I thought about moving church up, but it's pretty nice at 10:45. And, you know, we have a pushing that the Holy Spirit wants to continue to screw this. We will be doing the names of God, the names and characteristics of God. Because you can pray in the names of God to build your relationship a little bit closer. So that's Sunday at 8:30 here. So go to sleep early Saturday night and get up and come to Sunday school. So,
I've almost got this memorized. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And I ask now that each of you go in God and be blessed.